everyone, it's me, Sin Munoz. Welcome to Low Key Unhinged Podcast, a personal guide to all things pop culture. I'm catching up with you every week on our favorite shows and hot takes with some of our favorite unhinged people. Tune in every week wherever you stream your podcast and follow Low Key Unhinged on all social platforms. See you next time. Ciao. Hey everyone, welcome back to Low Key Unhinged. It's me, Sin, and we are episode 8 of Happily Ever After. So let's jump in. So we kick the episode off with Darcy and Georgie. They are trying to figure out what Darcy's going to wear, or I should say Darcy's trying to figure out what she's going to wear to meet Georgie's parents. She's trying on multiple outfits, and Georgie looks absolutely mentally drained, so depleted. This poor man has probably witnessed so many different outfit changes just in this episode, let alone when they were back in Miami. So he's drained, and she is just kind of losing it, and she's trying on one outfit. She says she looks dumpy in it. She's lost some weight. Tries on another outfit. It's a trench coat with booty shorts. I don't know what she's thinking going to meet his family this way, but she really emphasizes that she is just such a fashionista. Fashion is everything to her, which I get. I do understand that, but there's a time and place, and this is not the time or the place for booty shorts, but nonetheless, she is trying to figure out what to wear, and this leads to my favorite part of the entire episode, maybe one of my favorite catchphrases of the entire series. And Georgie says, yes, you know, my mom, she always said, Georgie, whatever you do, make sure you find snatchy girl. Okay, that's hilarious. He is so dry in his humor, but it was really funny. So Darcy needs to look very snatchy, apparently. She's really focused on what she's going to wear. Georgie has already emphasized so many times she needs to dress more conservatively. They're not in Miami. She's really just not getting the message. He's very frustrated because his nerves are just through the roof. He's so excited to see his parents. And Darcy is so preoccupied with her outfit that he just doesn't know what to do with her. So, of course, to Darcy fashion, she chooses the booty shorts, and that was what she decided on. So he lets her know, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. You were always going to choose whatever you wanted to choose. It didn't really need to take this long, but we need to get on the road. So they do go ahead and get on the road. They finally arrive. They get to Georgie's parents' house. And of course, Darcy's button breaks. And so now her trench coat cannot hide her booty shorts. I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know why this was the plan, but now it has all been foiled. And so she takes out another coat. It's this huge fur coat over the top. You can't really wear a fur coat inside, but she doesn't really have any other options. So she goes ahead and changes it once again. So he's so upset at this point. Georgie's just so fed up with everything. And he says, on his one-on-one, with 5 suitcases, she still manages to pick the wrong outfit. And he was right. It was just the wrong outfit. I love Darcy, but it was not the right outfit. It was a very sentimental, very sweet moment. Georgie's mom is crying. Darcy's emotional. Georgie's emotional. His dad comes. His doppelganger, I should say. And it was so sweet. They're all hugging and they're just happy. And it was just a really beautiful moment. So Georgie's mom just absolutely emotional over the whole thing. She hasn't seen her son in apparently over 12 years or so. And it was nice. And so later that night, Georgie's mom, she hosts a dinner for them. She brings up the issues that Darcy had mentioned to her earlier in the episode. And Darcy had explained that there's communication issues, that she doesn't feel safe, and that they're just struggling. She wants to be let in. She feels like he's so secretive. And she has this conversation privately with his mom, but she brings it up at dinner. In a very loving way, she brings it up, but she's also kind of scolding Georgie, like, get your shit together, figure this out, learn how to communicate, learn how to be a good husband so that you guys can have a strong marriage. And Georgie is now understanding that Darcy had this conversation without him being aware, and he's not happy about it. And he expresses that he wanted his parents to enjoy their time together. He doesn't want his mom to be bombarded with their marital issues. And now that's the topic of conversation. And it was supposed to be a loving, happy reunion. And now it's turned into how do we help Georgie and Darcy with their marital problems? You know, I had said before, I really do like Georgie, and I think he got a bad rap before. And here we are again. And I really am on Georgie's side for this. I think he's completely right. I think it was really insensitive and self-centered to bring all those things up when Georgie's mom hasn't seen her son in all these years. It's a beautiful time for them to be together. And now she's worried about their marriage. And so she's trying to kind of counsel them. And Georgie was completely right. Darcy was absolutely in the wrong. She really didn't need to bring this up. So he starts to get frustrated at the dinner table. Darcy starts crying. He's like, "Why are you crying?" And she's like, let me feel my feelings." And this is just, I love Darcy, but I don't know why she does these kind of things. I guess she's just so emotional, and it really wasn't the right time, but nonetheless, that's what happens. So next in the episode, we see Tiger Lily and Adnan. We see the scene where Tiger Lily is essentially hysterically crying in her room. This is, of course, the day before she's about to give birth, before she has her C-section. And she's just so upset, and she just cannot understand what has changed in their relationship to have caused Adnan to be so pushy about changing her religion, accusing her of being a demon, that the demon is working through her. He's just the worst. I cannot stand Adnan. He's delusional. He's insane. He has this inflated ego, and I can't even understand why, because he's just awful all around. And instead of consoling her in this scene, he is pushing, 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 telling her she's small-minded. Ugh, it's honestly so hard to watch, and I feel so bad for her because, yes, although Tiger Lily made this decision, she chose to be with Adnan, she's grown, no one made her. She really screwed up by choosing this person to be with and to have a baby with. And now she's the day before giving birth, and he's just being absolutely awful to her. He's just telling her that all women are small-minded. She's one of them, and it's just gross. And so they're going back and forth. Tiger Lily brings up, you know, how can she trust him this way? Everything's changing, and he just about loses it. It's such a trigger word for him. So he says, "Say this one more time to me. Say one more time that you don't trust me, and I will show you. I will escalate things." Awful. Just such an immature child he is. Even worse than a child, really. I don't want to give him that type of credit. So he threatens to make things a bigger problem for her. Out of pure exhaustion, she just kind of gets fed up with the situation. She understands nothing's going to change. He's not going to back down. He's not going to take accountability. He's definitely not going to say sorry to her. And she's going to give birth the following day. So she doesn't want to be in that mindset. So she kind of just puts it aside, says, like, "Let's move on." Adnan continues to kind of emphasize that, "No big deal. This is just a demon. This is just a demon working through Tiger Lily. They're going to be fine." And yeah, so they're getting ready to head to the hospital. We see Tiger Lily hysterically laughing now because Adnan has decided that he is going to be in about a, I don't know if it's a three-piece suit, but he is suited up. And so she's laughing because she's thinking, what in the world do you think you're going to wear that to? You're going to be in the operating room. You're going to be in scrubs. That's not going to be your outfit. So he gets upset. He's insecure. Starts asking her if she wants a fancy husband or if she wants a trash husband like a lawnmower. Okay. There's so many things to even break that down with. The fact that this guy just thinks he's so above a person who would mow lawns is embarrassing. He's embarrassing. I don't know what kind of background he comes from, but clearly a privileged one. You know, he needs to be knocked down a few pegs. I really hope that he gets ripped to shreds at the tell-all because he's just awful. He truly is just an awful person. I think I said this before, but he is truly my most disliked cast member of all the seasons. I know that's hard to say. There's so many terrible ones, but he's up there. He's one of the winners or losers, I guess I would say. Next, we have Jasmine and Matt. We see them working out. Okay. And they're both just bitching about Gino, going on and on about how awful he was. They can't believe him. He left all this information out for Natalie. Poor Natalie. All of a sudden, it's poor Natalie. Jasmine does say she's embarrassed of her behavior, but what I would like to see is for her to apologize to Natalie, whether that's in person or over the phone. But she absolutely owes her an apology. It was atrocious, her behavior. And so they're just kind of ripping Gino to shreds. And this is kind of the scene where Matt finally opens up. He lets Jasmine know he has strong feelings for her. Oh my gosh, shocking. They're not just friends. It's such a surprise. Such a surprise. Yeah, he is confessing his love for her, and she stands very firmly on. She's a good actress, I guess, but she stands very firmly on. Oh, she's a married woman. They cannot cross that line. Matt is just a friend. It's just so cheesy, ridiculous, but you know, she's holding strong on that one. Next we have Natalie and Gino, and we see Gino driving to go meet with Natalie. He is sounding very upset. He wants to take accountability. He understands that he really put Natalie in such a bad position. It was his job to protect her. It was his job to introduce her to his family in a safe environment where she can feel loved and supported. And that's not what happened. She was almost physically assaulted. I mean, I guess you could say maybe she was, but it just didn't escalate further. But regardless, he goes and he meets up with her. And she really lets him have it. She lets him know how inappropriate it was. She wants nothing to do with this type of chaos. This is not how she functions. And that this was his fault, that he really put her in a bad position and she didn't appreciate it. And I wasn't sure if that conversation was going to go in that direction because I kind of saw that maybe she would want to continue being on the season. But no, she was done with it. She's like, not worth it. I'm over this. And so that was that. And Gino obviously is upset. He's bummed. I don't know when he was gonna ever be able to get a girl like Natalie again, but that's what happened there. So next we have Libby and Andre. So Andre returns from his trip, not really greeted with a very nice welcome, but Libby is there and she just expresses her frustration with him, that she's still upset that he lost the money, asking him, did you get the money back? What's going on? This isn't cool. I'm upset with you. I'm not happy. And he expressed that he is actually working with lawyers. They're going to try to get the money back. I mean, probably is not going to happen, but he's doing his best to try to remedy the situation. And I think he really learned that her biggest qualm with the situation was that he really just wasn't honest about it. He did not inform her. He didn't keep her in the loop. And she was not happy about that. And I think that actually really set her off more than the fact that he lost the money. Of course, that was horrible, but him just not being honest about the entire thing was really just kind of that tipping point for her. So she lets him know that she's done with Moldova. She absolutely has no interest in moving to Moldova. Andre is super mad about that. He's like, what are you talking about? My family's there. I want to be there. This is what I want to do. Let me fix this. And she's like, no, absolutely not. I like it here. I like our house. I don't want to leave. It's not a better situation for us. It's not a better life for me or the kids. And I'm not going to go. So he's not happy about that, but she puts her foot down and he actually does end up apologizing to her. He says, I'm sorry. She's like, why are you? Very, very Joey from Friends kind of moment. It was so funny. I don't know if people caught that, but I was watching it and I just thought that was so funny that he really didn't know how to use air quotes properly, but he did his best. But he did actually apologize. He did say he was sorry to her, and she said that he is not a kind of person that will apologize. So him apologizing in the first place was actually such a big deal. So good for them. We'll see what comes of it. And next we have Kara and Guillermo. We see Kara packing up. And her mom is driving her to the airport. She's gonna go to Milan and do her bachata recording. Bachata. However, I'm starting to get used to saying bachata, which is very embarrassing, but it's just kind of funny at this point. A lot of people on Reddit, obviously, they've skewered her over and over again for saying bachata. And it's just so weird because her Spanish is so good. She speaks so well, very, very fluent. For some reason, she can't say bachata. Bachata. It's bachata. So she's going to Milan. And again, people on Reddit are like, well, if you're recording with a very well-known recording producer, Milan's not really the place for bachata music, but I guess that's maybe more of a place for bachata music. So she starts complaining to her mom that Guillermo didn't show up. He didn't go to her show. He hasn't been in contact with her. He's not really supporting her. She's super frustrated. And she just explains that, you know, while she's gone, if he has any questions about the baby, check the Google Calendar. Everything's there. And it's just, they sound like a divorced couple. They don't even sound separated at this point. They sound like they're on their way to divorce. The fact that their communication is so minimal that it's down to the Google Calendar and that's kind of it is very unfortunate. And I thought this scene was kind of weird because we saw in the last episode or the episode before where Kara's mom was so sweet and supportive to Guillermo about his ambitions for becoming a pilot. And now she's encouraging Kara to look for a divorce lawyer. And I'm not against Kara looking for a divorce lawyer if they're separated and they're going down that road of divorce. But it just almost seems like maybe the timelines are off, as though they're filming this as though they're just separated, but things have probably progressed further in their relationship or their marriage, and it looks like it's coming to a divorce. That's just my hot take on it, but just kind of weird. So she's telling Kara, you know, really look into that. You want to protect yourself. Kara pauses her and says, Mom, don't talk about it like it's over already. But that was kind of my clue that I feel like maybe it is, and they're kind of recording after the fact. So it sounds like they're done. It's super unfortunate. I really am still holding on hope. I would love for them to make it through on the other side. They have little Nico. They used to be so in love. It's just a shame. And I feel like there's really not such a strong reason as to why they need to divorce or break up, but that's kind of just where they're at right now. So we see she drops her off. She says goodbye to her mom and her baby. She's off to Milan. She's super excited. And I guess outside of the issues that she's having with Guillermo and how strong these problems have become for them, good for Kara. The fact that she is advancing so well and far along in her career is actually really amazing. I am super happy for her. It's a huge accomplishment, more than a lot of other of the cast members who either are not working or this is their main job, or they just don't have other ambitions, which is fine, not a big deal. But she does, and she has all the stuff to look forward to. And I really hope that she thrives, and I just wish that she could do that with Guillermo, but if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. So next we see Guillermo, and he's on the phone with his mom, and he's very emotional. He's very sad. He starts to cry, which was so heartbreaking to see. And his mom is just so confused. So he had not kept her in the loop. He had not mentioned how bad things have gotten. Understandably, she's in a far away country, and he doesn't want to kind of burden her, but he finally opens up and lets her know they are just not doing well, and things are not looking good. And he says, I don't know what to do. We're kind of just at the end of our rope here. And I don't know how to fix this. And so he's going on to everything. They both are crying. And his mom actually has a very simple but cute suggestion. And she says, you guys were once so in love with each other. Take her out on a date. Woo her. Win her back. And even though he feels like she has potentially cheated or has betrayed his trust, he wants to save his marriage. He wants to keep the family together. So he says that's a great idea, and he's going to take her up on it. And I actually agreed. I thought it was also a good idea. So again, I am holding on hope for them. I think everyone's kind of rooting for them, but we'll see what happens. So next we have Brandon and Julia. They pick back up with her parents arriving. Brandon's parents already there. They have everything set up, and Julia is furious. She's so mad. She feels completely violated, and I don't really blame her. It is very unfortunate because you see Brandon's parents, they got ribs, they have side dishes, they brought all this food, they did all the setup, and it was very generous of them, and it was very loving, and you can tell it comes from such a good place. But the problem is the boundaries. That is really just what it comes down to. There is a very strong lack of boundaries. And because those boundaries have been crossed so many times before, I think Julia is just very hypersensitive to those things. And so she's just not having it. She's super mad. She brings up the fact that the last time she interacted with Betty was when Betty was shooing her away. Betty's husband, Brennan's dad, obviously is defending Betty, kind of saying like, that's nonsense. We don't know what you're talking about. Well, Betty ends up getting really frustrated. And so Julia's mentioning these things, saying how she had done that. And Betty says, your house, your rules. And it was awkward. It was very awkward. She's like, you know, throwing down the sword, saying, you win. This is your battle. I'm done. But you can just tell that the battle has just begun. Betty is not happy. And they're getting very frustrated. So they decide, you know what? This is not going in the right direction. She is not happy about this. She's very frustrated. And even though we wanted to have like a fun night together, this is not going to go well. We need to just get out of here. So they decide they're going to go ahead and get a hotel for the night. And they're leaving. Well, Brandon decides he's not going to stand by his wife. He's going to go with his parents and he's going to also leave and go stay the night with them. Julia's upset. She says, this is ridiculous. You can't leave. Her mom, oh my gosh, her poor mom is like, Brandon, don't go. But he leaves and he goes and she's upset and she's like, that's enough. And I'm going to change the locks. So it's a tough one. It's just unfortunate. I think that Julia is just so hypersensitive to the fact that they have crossed so many boundaries before that she's not willing to let that happen anymore. But Brandon's parents were being super nice. I'm not really sure that that response was valid, but it's how she felt. So all in all, it was a decent episode, not the most exciting, but it was a good episode. And I think it's a really good bridge to what's going to happen next. We all see the preview. Looks like a very exciting episode. So thanks again for joining me on Low Key Unhinged. I hope you join me next week and we cover episode 9 for Happily Ever After. All right. Ciao.